speaks to the importance of preserving culture. Now, we've had a number of discussions about the entire situation around the Boer Cup, Salt River and Woodstock, and that has been brought to the fore by developments happening out in the Boer Cup and things like that. And this morning we are joined by Jonathan Miller, who goes around, in the country, talking to people about the Khoisan heritage and Afrikaans as a language. Now, Jonathan, we saw the president put some of the Khoisan leaders up in Parliament and acknowledge their presence in the State of the Nation address. And I hope that was not just a kind of a symbolism, but that was maybe a real, honest and very true gesture of the president to actually bring about this change and to recognize the Khoisan and recognize quite a number of things that go together with the heritage of the Khoisan. So, Jonathan, a very good morning to you and welcome to the show, sir.
Good morning, and good morning to all the listeners. Yeah, it was quite interesting that that he raised awareness there. So, he acknowledged and he recognized, and we really don't, we're not looking really for recognition. We know who we are. We recognize ourselves. What we need is we need acknowledgement, we need action. And this has been sadly lacking for for a few hundred years, that the Bushmen and the sand, the Bushmen and the Khoi have been treated not even like second class citizens. They've been treated like animals. I mean, if you were just to go and look on my Facebook page, and you would see the poster there that indicates that in 1939, the last permit was sold to hunt and kill a Bushman woman. So legally, we could be hunted. Our women could be hunted. Our men and children were killed brutally by various nations. And today, sadly, we're just a subject of academic interest. See that there's many struggles going on around the country for people who want their land, they want recognition, but nobody has given attention to the plight of the Bushmen and the San. When you use the word, the Bushman and the Khoi Khoi, or the San and the Khoi Khoi. When you say,
Jonathan, I was actually just going to say, you know what? There's such a lot of confusion, and from where evokes a colored identity and stuff like that. So
right.
You have the people talk about Bushman, they talk about Khoi, and they talk about Khoi San. Just sort of unpack those terminologies for us.
Yeah. So the Bushman, or what is known as the San, are the original indigenous people here, and later on joined by Khoi Khoi tribes, and also migrating from the north. And then you find in the 1800s that a German anthropologist comes and he coins the phrase Khoi and San, San referring to Bushmen, or those who are without. And that is where the three terms come from. So there isn't actually a nation called Khoi San. And this is the kind of confusion, that government plays to, because it's very simple. When Nelson Mandela went to the United Nations and he acknowledged the indigenous, or acknowledged us as the indigenous people, that was a great thing. Then it was supposed to be also acknowledged in the ILO and then ratified by government. But since then, every president that has taken office has tried to have that signature revoked. In fact, they've gone so far as to remove the word indigenous from the African Union constitution.
Yeah,
very often,
Jonathan, we tend to talk about the country in terms of just four racial groupings or four groupings in terms of heritage is white. We talk about black, we talk about colored, and we talk about Indian. But there's such a lot more. And in your opinion, do a lot of people actually know their heritage, and do they embrace this heritage?
Yeah, more and more people are embracing their heritage. You know, there's a wonderful a lady called Mercia Hanekam. She's out there in Pilfle, and she started a real dance group. And this is what gets me. This is what gets me hooked when people are promoting cultures and so on. And through those children, they've managed to bring so many, not just grown-ups, but also young children into the dance and then into the culture and then into acknowledgement. Because when the kids come and they dance and they get active and excited and they come home with new words and new ideas, parents are amazed. And but then, of course, there are divisions. You know, the group called Coloured, basically, just as a quick description, are those people who were not declared white and not declared black by the previous government, apartheid government. They were thrown into that group called Coloured. Then, unfortunately, you know, people say, you know, colored people can't stand together. Well, you know, it's a mixed group. And as inside that group sits these indigenous peoples. And I say peoples because, yeah, now I sound like DJ Foster, but I say peoples. I say peoples because, you know, there are various tribes that were broken up, you know, and the tribes, a tribe can range from 20 people to, let's say, 100 people. And there were many of them. So what Nelson Mandela did, and there was a, you know, when the Griquas went in, to him, you know, and they asked for recognition with Nelson Mandela many years ago, he said, no, I can't give you recognition. You must go and unite. Now, The point is, they didn't, yes, and that's what caused the big problem because, you know, they don't ask white people to unite and they don't ask black people to unite. Why do they ask, you know, Khoisan people to unite? And because they won't recognize our individuality, of course, it's a whole different system, different to the socio-political structures of black people. Of black tribes and of course, Europeans, you know, where they have kings and so on.
No.
Very different. So therefore, they don't have a system of acknowledging us, and they don't want to. And that's they cause the confusion.
So, you normally go around to schools and educate people and tell people the history of the Khoi and the history of the San because, like you said, there is no such grouping as Khoi San. And, of course, sometimes within the grouping of the word colored, these sort of indigenous heritages are there and people don't want to recognize it because, you know, I'm living in a great area. My children go to a private school and they don't have a Khoi San. Please don't talk about the fact that they are Khoi San or that they are Khoi or that they are San in any case. So what do you teach at schools when you travel around, Jonathan?
First I must tell you, it's an absolute passion of mine. Yeah, it's something I really, really love. And, you know, the young kids are so receptive. So what I tell them about is I tell them of a group of characteristics that still remains. I say to them, for example, if you look into the churches, typically what people want to call colored churches and so on, mensen jeugnog, the way that they celebrate, the way that they dance, it's forbidden in many of the city churches. The fact that we still have nicknames, for example, we call each other nicknames, that has very, very strong meaning. That's the kind of thing. The fact that I grew up like that anyway. When we played games outside in the street, our parents played the games with us, of course, in many of these areas. Now the kids can't do that because, you know, it's shooting and stuff like that. And then also the fact that we love to talk with our hands, for example, very demonstrative with our hands and we talk with more than just our mouths. And the fact that we love creating, we love to walk barefoot, so there's many other people groups that do these individual things, but it's us that do this kind of thing as a collective. And then of course, you know, the way we speak, it's very melodic, and that's very Khoisan, that's very indigenous. Mm.
I was going to ask you that because we had a chat earlier on, John Latham had a chat, and we replayed that chat about Kratoa, Yefa Fani Kamp. And, you know, in that she sort of gave a little bit of a phrase in the language. And, you know, it's very important. And, you know, do people still speak the Khoi language or the San languages? Because I know that on the West Coast, on the R27, there's a place where I'm going to pronounce this incorrectly. So please correct me if I think it's called Ikwatu. And that is where this whole history comes about. And I was fascinated watching a documentary about it. So do people still speak the language? Is it still a home language in certain areas?
Yeah, look, there's language. There's people who speak the language. You know, there was a woman, sadly, you know, because of my travels and I missed the opportunity to interview her in Vrygrond, for example, who died recently and was still speaking one of the Bushman languages. And when, you know, I've got family who lives up in Riekfontein, Andriesville, Northern Cape, and so on. My auntie lives there. And I was surprised to hear that there's still people in the community. When I got up early one morning, I heard someone shouting to someone else, "Geisers! Matisa!" And I went shouting, "Who are you guys?" And I said, "Oh my word, what's going on here?"
Yeah.
And then I looked, yes, they speak it. There are churches in Cape Town, I believe, who are beginning to sing hymns.
Oh, wow.
In the Khoisan language. Yeah, it's nice. You see, because what happens in these churches now, we are singing hymns from churches that come into the country from overseas. And when you sing the hymn, can you believe when you sing the hymn in your church, you have to pay royalties for your band to play that hymn? I mean, it's ludicrous, you know. And here we have a language that is so expressive and so full. And when you know, when we explain it to people, the words and what it means, when we say the Our Father, and we'd say it's not just Our Father. It's Our Father, as Louis Brandy van Citters reminds us, is saying Our Father, Father of our forefathers. How beautiful is that? So it's a very expressive language. Yes, and what we want to do is we want to encourage more and more kids, and there's other groups that follow through into the school as well, that teach the children how to sing in the Bushman language, because and it's Khoi Khoap, which they're actually promoting.
Yeah.
And it's still spoken, of course, very strongly in Namibia. I'm a tourist guide. I'm a national tourist guide. I had the privilege of going up to Namibia recently. Yeah, there I it's alive and well. But when I got into Botswana, interesting thing happened. I was at the camp and I looked at this lady and I greeted her. And of course, they speak a slightly different dialect. She recognized what I was trying to say. And I said to her, "Are you a Bushman?" And you know what the lady said to me? She said to me, "Jonathan, please don't ask me or don't say that. Don't raise the issue that I'm a Bushman, please. I can lose my job."
Oh.
Yeah.
Jonathan, chatting to Jonathan Miller this morning, and Jonathan obviously is a person that goes around to schools teaching people, and we're chatting about the fact about the Khoi San or the San or the Khoi heritage and Afrikaans language. Jonathan, quickly in a nutshell, where do you see this going forward? Because, I mean, there's been a lot of this. There's even been the sort of hunger strike in Pretoria at the parliament out in Pretoria, you know, on the steps of the Union Building. Do you see a greater awareness coming about?
It has become unstoppable now. And once we can put it into the schools, you know, I believe, and I stand to be corrected, perhaps it's changed, but institutions like Heritage West, Western Cape doesn't want to talk about these things. When you spoke about Part 2, when you go to Part 2 and you look at some of their displays there, it shows you how in Botswana, the Bushmen were tied back to back and a hand grenade put in the middle of them and blown apart like animals. I think that this thing is becoming unstoppable. It's very, very sad that this only gets spoken about mostly in academic realms. But through genetic inheritance, we are alive and well. Our language is coming back. Our people fought very hard to get language, the Khoi Khoi Khoap, in two schools as a pilot project in the Northern Cape. It's coming. I want to speak to the conscience of people today who are losing their land in this country and others who are fighting land. And I want to ask the question, how do you think we feel? How do you think we feel having been dispossessed, robbed, still continue to be ridiculed in this country, and you're fighting over things that doesn't belong to you? The fact of the matter is that there are people, the government is buying land up from white people and wanting to take land away, and they say that it is their land. Black people's land.
No.
It isn't. It's our land. And what I want to say is that
Jonathan, thanks very much. We're going to have to unfortunately cut it there. It's a very interesting discussion. It could actually go on a lot longer than what it's gone on. And yeah, how do we feel is the question that he's asking as a Khoi person, as a San person.